Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Joining us now is the GM of the Texas Rangers, John Daniels. This interview brought to you by Evan Williams Bourbon and BMW, the ultimate driving machine. JD, thanks for jumping on with us. Let's dive right into talking about these young lefties. You've got Allard, obviously, Palumbo and Burke today. People are talking about this a lot, saying, hey, this is really exciting, but hey, is that too many young lefties? What's your take on all of this?
Well, a couple of things. One, I get it from, the looking at the short-term kind of matchups with Oakland and Houston. But it also cracks me up that, people are like, oh, you have too much young left-handed pitching. you have too much of that good thing. And there's a moment in time with Oakland having, Chapman, Simeon, and Davis, and obviously Altuve and Springer and these guys here, but those things change pretty quickly. And at the end of the day, we want to get the best guys and not try to overcomplicate it. And I think in all three cases, these guys have the ability over time to they have tools to get right-handed hitters out. You look at Mike Minor and you're not worried about him facing right-handed hitters, because he's got the changeup. He can pitch in with the fastball, he can pitch up with the fastball, he can back foot the slider. And I think in all three cases, we have guys that have those kind of weapons, or certainly the ability to develop them.
So, John, if you don't mind, would you compare and contrast the two young pitchers that are taking the mound for you today?
Yeah, I think the first thing you kind of notice is they're physically a little different. Burke's just a little bit bigger man. I think probably, 6'3", 6'4". Plumbo's probably closer to 6 foot. Burke's more of a slider, kind of fastball slider change. Where Palumbo goes curveball. He introduced a slider recently, but more of a curveball as his primary secondary pitch. Both guys' changeups have gotten a lot better. I think Joe's might be a tick more advanced. Joe, kind of like Allard, will really aggressively pitch in with his fastball. Brock will kind of use both sides maybe a little bit more, but both guys will sit kind of 92, 95 with their fastball, and Brock will use his slider a lot, and Joe will use his curveball.
Got to ask you about, I haven't seen any news come down today, but last night we were paying attention. It looked like Nick Solak got pulled out of a game early, a minor league game, Danny Santana with a little bit of a hammy tightness situation. So what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we pulled Nick out of the game there in Nashville after both Maz and Santana came out of the game last night. We knew we'd have to make some pitching moves today. And then when you have two everyday position players get banged up, Maz was his backside oblique, his left oblique, very, very similar to what Joey did early in the season. With the exception, it looks like Maz is probably not as significant, at least based on exam last night. Joey was out 3 weeks. So I'm hopeful Maz is not that long, but you know, there is a possibility that he needs some time. And then Danny, I think it appears it was more of like a hamstring cramp than really pulling the muscle. So he was going to get kind of come in today and kind of get warmed up. But we wanted to have Nick, especially playing two today in the heat. You know, we didn't want to be down two position players. So I think there's a good chance we'll activate Nick and DL one of them. We just got to see these guys first. And our clubhouse doesn't even open until 11 this morning. So not sure which one it's going to be at this point.
Tell us what you guys have seen from Nick since you acquired him.
Just kind of the staff loves him there in AAA. Everybody that goes through, they all kind of talk about his just the type of player he is, hard nosed, smart, big aptitude, but you know, can really hit first and foremost. I think that's what kind of jumps out. He's just kind of natural feel for the barrel, and you know, he's crushed lefties throughout his minor league career, but he's hit righties too. He was an outfielder his first 2 years at Louisville. Then they moved him into second base his junior year, his draft season. Our scout Mike Medici had the area and just really, really loved the bat, loved the profile. He's probably like a little more of an offensive first player. He played second base exclusively the first month that he was there in Nashville, and then the last couple weeks we've had him play some left and some right. But my sense is Woody will probably he might play him a little bit in the outfield, but I think he'll try to, you know, get him comfortable with the doubleheader today. You know, Woody was talking even about, you know, DHing Odor one day and one game and second one and maybe vice versa for Solak. But I mean, he's a pretty athletic guy. He runs well. You know, he may need a little more time to acclimate to different defensive positions, but the fact that he can move around a little bit, that he's a right-handed hitter with some power and a good approach, it's a good roster fit for us.
You know, we're sitting here talking about young starting pitching, which is awesome. Nice young offensive player there, and Nick Solak as well. And it seems like you guys are on the brink of really turning that corner and really have a lot of options in terms of directions you could go and retooling this roster and being very competitive again very soon. That said, it you know, it always begs the question, is ownership going to let you spend? And so as you're starting to put these puzzle pieces together and for next year and the three-year plan and the five-year plan, do you anticipate that ownership's going to allow you to go out and spend money to significantly increase payroll as you go into the new stadium?
Yeah, I do. You know, I do. It's going to have to be on the right guys. And you know, over the next this year and next year, there are, you know, quite a few contracts that are coming up. And so just in that sense, we'll have some dry powder. But we're also anticipating, you know, raising payroll over the next couple of years, going into the new ballpark with all the kind of added value that's going to bring to the franchise. So that's definitely been a conversation. And you know, Ray, he wants to win. You know, he really does. And, you know, that's been a pretty meaningful topic of conversation here the last year or so, just in kind of looking out at first of all, retaining our own, the best of our own, and then secondly, just looking at the free agent market, whether it's this year, next year. You know, we don't totally control the timing, but we certainly can control, you know, going out and getting the right fits.
You know, John, we had Kiner Falefa on the show last week as the Rangers player show, and then last night, obviously, a heroic moment for him. What are y'all's plans for him? He's obviously had, it's been all over the board, and he's had some injuries, but what is the outlook for him?
I think his best position defensively is third base, probably the infield in general, but third base. You know, you look back at 2017, and he was, if you look at like different defensive metrics in the minor leagues, he was on just about every leaderboard of, you know, really good defensive infielders. He's so athletic that we wanted to try him behind the plate, and I thought he made strides, but it's just the reality of what a hard position that is to learn on the fly at the major league level. And, you know, ultimately we decided that, you know, we wanted to kind of mix him in, move him around. I thought like his versatility is as valuable as the fact that he can catch. And you saw a situation the other day with Minnesota where, you know, Woody was able to pinch hit twice for the catchers. You know, he's kind of defensive first catchers that haven't hit a ton. And, you know, he was able to do that because Kiner being on the roster allowed him to do that. So he had two high leverage spots for the catchers. And then here comes Kiner, you know, his ability to move around the infield. And that becomes even more valuable next year when, you know, you can have with the 26th man an extra position player. And, you know, you can effectively, like, you know, hit for your catchers all the time if you want to, you know, or there's obviously a bunch of different ways to do it. But to have somebody that versatile that can play second, can play short, can play third really well, can catch, he could probably run around the outfield. He has a good approach. You know, probably never going to have a ton of power, although I do think there's a little more in there. And he's a smart player. So I think as we sit today, like, that's probably how we view him is, you know, it's some of those parts and the versatility that makes him super valuable.
Yeah, man, and there is a lot of versatility with a lot of these different players in the mix, like Danny Santana, who started at third yesterday. Would you consider Santana at third for a whole season, or is it just way too early to try to figure that out?
You know, he's put in a bunch of work there this summer. I know in spring training, just and kind of getting to know guys, and obviously we just started to get to know him here over the off season. Third base was where he's played the least, and so I think because of that, it's where he has the least comfort. Not necessarily because he can't do it, but more just lack of experience over there. So Tony Beasley's worked him out quite a bit over there, and obviously saw last night what he felt like he was ready to go and ready to try it. I think he only had one play and made it, you know, seamlessly. It's going to be a discussion. I mean, I think a lot of it depends on, you know, do we look outside? Is there the right fit via trade or free agent? And if not, you know, to look at our internal options, of which, you know, Daniel will definitely be in that conversation.
Well, John, thank you for the time today. We appreciate it. We'll catch up with you next week, man.
All right, guys. Thank you.
There he goes, John Daniels, the GM of the Texas Rangers.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.